And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
K-Rock 955, Tom, Lingy, Loggy, we're super excited for Good Things Festival, December 5 at Flemington Racecourse here in Melbourne. It's become an institution right around Australia, but also the bands that they bring, some of them are just institutions in general. Now, our next guest has one of the most iconic bass sounds of our generation. Mm-hmm. He has opened songs and carried us through hours and hours of just some of our favourite music. His name is Justin Chancellor and he is from Tool.
Yay!
Hey, Justin.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. That's very, very, very kind and generous of you.
Mate, we have grown up on your bass sound. Can I just ask, when you joined the band, did you have that sound already or did it sort of evolve as you sort of settled into the band?
No, I would say it was a product of me joining the band and kind of fitting in, basically, you know. I was in a different band in England. I had a different bass. And when I started to write songs with Tool in America, in Los Angeles, it wasn't quite working and I had to figure it out, you know, and I had to find a instrument that worked better. And then the tone just kind of came from that, you know, the amp followed along and it started to evolve, but yeah, it was definitely me trying to fit into the band, and then that kind of like spurred my sound along.
That band you're referring to was Peach, and so let's go back to 1995.
That's correct.
Yeah, Tool, you had toured with them a little bit, and then you got a call one day that said, hey, Tool's looking for a new bassist because Paul DeMore left. You originally said, nah, thanks, but no thanks. And your brother basically shook sense into you and said, what are you thinking, Justin? Are you so glad that he did that now, obviously?
Well, yeah. I mean, what are big brothers for, you know, after all? That's what they do. They basically, you know, they go before you, figure out the hard lessons, and then they help you along. If you're lucky enough to have an older sibling, that's kind of like one of the benefits of having an older brother, you know? But yeah, that's the truth. I was basically afraid, you know, and would rather be safe in what I was doing. And so my instant reaction was to say, no, I can't do that. I'm afraid to do that. My brother just like kicked me in the butt and said, you know what? I'm going to let you know right now, you need to reconsider this and you need to call them back. And you'll be lucky if they actually let you try out now after you've already said no. And he basically, you know, put me at gunpoint and made me call him back. And, yeah, that's the truth.
Justin, 30 years in the band, the chemistry must be so important between the four of you guys. I know Loggy and I, when we first started working together, it just sort of clicked. And we've been on air sort of six odd years together now. And I mean, it's nothing compared to 30. Is that the secret sauce to the way Tool just sort of keeps trucking along?
Well, absolutely. I mean, like, you know, in order to carry on, you have to evolve and you have to learn and you have to get better at communicating. You guys, what you do, it's not that dissimilar, you know. You're broadcasters, we're musicians, but we all have to kind of have a rapport and a chemistry, you know what I mean? And you have to work at that. And if you want to keep taking it further, you have to keep working at that every day, you know what I mean? And then there's the opportunity to go further. And that's what we've tried to do, you know, instead of breaking down when we've had, you know, an impasse in the road where we've disagreed or we've had problems or, you know, personal things, we've worked through it. And it's basically allowed us to go to a next level, you know, I would say. So, yeah, chemistry and communication and the relationships are everything. That allow us to keep making music, you know, whether people like it or not. That's like the journey that we're on, you know.
Yeah.
Now, Tool, obviously known for your complex and shifting time signatures, and a lot of people just love your band for that reason. Are there some instances when you're on stage, Justin, and you're like, I can't be here living my best life on stage at the moment because I'm too busy counting in my head of what is coming up next? Can you just be within the music, or do you always have to have your mind focused on those time signatures?
I mean, it's most of it's pretty natural, you know. I was talking to Rob from Metallica recently, and we were talking about we were talking about doing some covers, and I was saying I'm trying to figure it out. And
awesome.
He was talking about always being prepared, you know, like being ready to perform and ready to deliver something. When you're in a band and you're doing a show and people are coming to see you do it, you've got to kind of be prepared for that. And the only times that I think I get tied up in knots is if I'm tired or I'm jet lagged, or I remember one instance I went to England for my sister's wedding, and I had like 48 hours to get to England and then back to Florida and carry on the tour. And I was literally standing on the stage at 4 o'clock for soundcheck back in Florida on the Sunday.
Yeah.
I was the first person on the stage. Wow. Everyone showed up. But then during the show, there were a couple of moments where my mind just went completely blank.
Yeah.
And literally my body just shut down and my hands just stopped. And I looked down and I was like, where am I? What am I doing?
Yeah.
But in general, I think we're pretty comfortable with it. You know, when we write the music, it sounds complicated, but it actually comes from a sensitive place. It's like an emotion, and it's a feeling for me. It's not so much a counting thing.
Yeah.
But I think if you're, obviously if you're playing someone else's thing, you got to do, like Rob said, you got to prepare yourself. You got to be ready to do it.
You guys performed alongside Ozzy Osbourne in what turned out to be his last ever gig, the Back to the Beginning whole set there. And you guys originally didn't jump at the chance to perform. Are you so glad now that you changed your mind and that you were part of that last moment with him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened there. It was a bunch of different things going on, different people's schedules, but I was always excited to do it. And when we finally were there, I was pinching myself that, we actually got to be part of it. I can't even believe we were part of that now, that it's passed, having done it. But more importantly, the whole event was quite magical. A 9-hour show with some of the greatest metal bands that have existed in recent history, including Ozzy and Black Sabbath and Metallica. It was just Jane's Addiction, Guns N' Roses, it was insane. It was absolutely an insane event. I don't think Jane's Addiction played, did they? But there were, there was a bunch of different people there.
Yeah.
And it was a very emotional thing to be part of, because it was almost like a high school reunion of a bunch of people that are all out on these different limbs,
yeah,
doing their own thing, but they're all sort of brought back down to earth together. We were all standing there on the stage together, like watching each other. It was very humbling in a way,
yeah,
and very very much reflective of Ozzy's character. He was just a beautiful man, that was saying stuff that was a little dark, a little edgy at the time in the 70s or whatever, that's how it kind of got out on the street. But in the end, he's just like the rest of us. He was just doing his best to be, expressive and poetic and a little bit daring, and the music certainly followed through with that. The band just kind of came right up behind him and changed metal music, or like music in general. But he was in basically a lovely geezer, he was a lovely, lovely man and a funny guy and not evil at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like this whole gathering was a warm situation, that was unsurpassed in my experience, I can't believe that we got to do that. And I can't believe what happened afterwards. It's all a bit, it's still hard to swallow,
Yeah,
it's
of like, course.
Imagine.
It's hard to understand what it really means. Like, maybe he is the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
he organized his own party, final party, Who does that? Everyone else everyone else has to die first, then other people put something together. But he was like, yeah, I'll put this together. And I don't even know how that works. I'm still getting my head around it. But it was a beautiful, beautiful thing that changed, you know, really changed my life. It made me feel different.
It's great that you're a part of it, and we're stoked that you are going to be a part of Good Things 2025 coming to Flemington Racecourse Friday, December 5. Destroy All Lines or goodthingsfestival.com.au. A couple of places you can go online to find out more and get yourself tickets. Justin Chancellor, mate, we could talk to you all day.
I know. But
thank you so much for joining us on K-Rock.
Oh, mate, you guys are a pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at K-Rock 955 weekday mornings from 6.